Exodus chapter 6 today. Will you turn there, please? Exodus chapter number 6. If you're here this morning and you need a Bible, go ahead and lift up your hand and one of our ushers will get a Bible to you today. If you don't have a Bible, this is our gift to you. Please take it home. If you just need a Bible for the service, you can set it back on the bookcase and somebody else can use it next week. So Exodus chapter 6 is where we're going to be today. As we're continuing on our series, Exploring Exodus, An Adventure of Hope. All right, so who here likes roller coasters? How many of you like roller coasters? You know, go to Six Flags or whatever. Okay, cool. Okay, where are the sane people then? Where are the people you don't like? I'm kidding. You don't like roller coasters. That's you? Anybody? I don't like roller coasters. It's not my thing. Okay, that's me. I'm part of the latter group. And it's not just because I think they will kill me when I get on them. They literally just make me ill. They make me sick to my stomach. And I remember when I was younger, particularly when I was in high school and into college, I would eventually succumb to the peer pressure of, you know, come on. Everybody else is doing it. And I would go on a ride or two, and then I would just get sick to my stomach, and then I'd be grouchy the rest of the day. And so I finally just learned to say no. Just say no to roller coasters. So I became that guy who, like, stayed behind with the baby stroller, right? You know, it's like, somebody's got to stay behind with the baby stroller, or, you know, as the kids get a little bit older, like, you know, they can't ride this ride because they're not big enough, so I stay back behind, or stay with the luggage, the gear, you know, the bags and the stuff like that, you know. It's a very important job that I performed admirably through the years and have spent hundreds of dollars being a glorified, you know, bag watcher. But as we continue this look at Exodus and we're thinking about Moses and the people of Israel, you talk about a roller coaster of emotions. Roller coaster spiritually, emotionally, mentally, in so many ways, the ups and downs of what they've been going through. When you think about it in context, going back to the very beginning, you've got obviously the slavery, the burden of the people of Israel as the book opens in chapter number 1. And so you've got obviously, you know, down, you know, way, way low. And then you've got, you know, the birth and the protection of Moses. Like, yay, Moses is here and God protects him and, you know, puts him in the Nile River and he's protected in the little craft and, you know, Pharaoh's daughter gets her raised. All this really cool stuff. Yay, like God is on the move. And then Moses kills an Egyptian, has to flee, and it's like, no, what's going on? I don't get it. And then, you know, many, many years later, God appears in a burning bush, and I forgot to turn the bush on again. I did it first service too. So, you know, the burning bush, and God talks to Moses out of the burning bush, and it's like, I'm choosing you to go back and, you know, bring my people out of bondage. It's like, yay, God is on the move. Here we go. Like, God's going to use Moses. And then on the way back to the land of Egypt, God almost kills him. And then after that experience happens, they get to the people, so that's a super low, and then he gets back to the people, and they're like, yay, God's heard our cries, and they believe, and they worship, and they're so excited, and they're so ready, it's that high, and then they actually get to Egypt, they talk to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's like, I don't know your God, like, I'm not letting the people go, and I'm going to make things even worse now for the people of Israel, and then all the people start complaining to Moses, and then Moses starts complaining to God and saying, what are you doing? Like, things are even worse now than they were before. Ups and downs. And I tell you, one of the things I love about the Bible is it just gives it all to us. You know, just the raw truth of life. And that is, there are good times and there are bad times. It's not just, you know, I love God and everything's great and I'm just like running in fields of lilies or whatever, you know, like everything's just wonderful, sweetness and light. No, life can be hard. Life can be tough. And the Bible's not afraid to portray the truth of what life is about. And oftentimes it is the roller coaster, the ups and the downs. No matter our background, no matter where we come from, we can all identify with the roller coaster that is life. So this weekend, this Friday, and this weekend for many of our church families, a significant high is Kayla graduates from high school. Super excited. Man, yay, she made it. Much less stressful than when our son was there. But I'm not going to go that direction. Super excited, and she's doing well, and she's getting an award on Tuesday night, and we're just so excited. It's going to be this huge high. And then less than 3 months later, she's going to move 547 miles away. Yes, I've done the math. 547 miles, and I'm like, no, like, you know, I'm I don't really want her to go, and I kind of want her to go, and I kind of don't want her to go, and this is really weird, like, emotional tug of war that's going on back and forth, this roller coaster of life. We've experienced it here as a community this week, this last Sunday, I mean, just 7 days ago, in the service, we had so much happen. We had Alice Rooney in our church, and after the service, she went home, she fell in her backyard, busted her head open, bleeding everywhere, and had to go to the hospital. A couple days later, Charlene was here. She's helping Christy back there, volunteering here at the church. She goes home. Her husband, John, has fallen off a ladder 10 foot tall into his backyard, bleeding everywhere, broken shoulder, broken ribs, in the hospital. Thursday, I go to the hospital to be with Richard, who's having an angiogram done. And it's like, hey, like, just in case, like, we may have to go in and, you know, do a balloon or do a stent or do something like that just in case. No. He has to have open heart surgery, emergency open heart surgery, like right there, right then. And all of a sudden it's like, whoa, what is going on? It's been a very hospital week here at Adventure. So Thursday night, I go in there after he's done with the procedure. Obviously he's out, comes through it great. But you go into the CVICU, Cardiovascular Intensive Care Unit. And if you've ever been in that kind of a situation, it is incredibly intimidating. And Joanne was here today. It was a blessing to see her this morning. Keep praying for Richard. But he, incredibly intimidating. I mean, you know, breathing tube, you know, down his throat, you know, multiple, I mean, dozens of wires and tubes and machines and just, you know, laying completely still. And it's like, oh my goodness. I went there 24 hours later. 24 hours later, he's not even hooked up to an IV. Everything is gone. Everything is gone. I'm just like, Richard, 24 hours ago, your chest was open. Your heart was stopped. They were working on you. And now you're up walking around eating food and not even an IV on you. This is craziness. You talk about an emotional up and down of life. And I think one of the ones that was most significant to me this week was when, and I saw this on Facebook. I didn't see it happen, you know, live, but I saw it on Facebook. When the mother who lost her son presented a scholarship to a young woman who lost her mother. And that, of course, is the Wayland family who is so dear to us and the Macy family who just lost mom. And to think about just the emotional upheaval of what's gone on in the context of those two families. Life is a roller coaster. So I think we get that. I think we understand that. We can lay that as a foundation. The question is, what do we do when that happens? I mean, what's our response to such times, and what did Moses do in such a time? I'd like to suggest the imagery of the huddle, And if you're familiar with sports, I mean, the huddle is the time that, you know, coach calls timeout, and you just kind of, you huddle up, you gather together to get some instruction, to get some encouragement, to get some guidance, to get some inspiration to then get back out there, you know, in the game of life. And in this context, you know, for what we're talking about, and my pastor used to always talk about this, you know, this isn't the game. You know, Sunday, this is the game is out there. This is the huddle for us. I mean, we gather together as a community, as we gather together as a family of faith. This is the huddle. This is our time. We come together, we get encouraged, we get inspired, we learn, we grow, we pray, and then we get back out there, you know, to face a world that is oftentimes so much opposed and against the things of God. It helps us, it encourages us, and God has built in this into his discipline for us, spiritual discipline for us. And so we have this every 7 days. And so it's so important that we do that. And when we don't have that time, when it goes 14 days and 21 days and 28 days and 2 months and 6 months, yeah, it's going to make an impact. It's going to make an impact on our lives. But that's another message. We won't preach that one today, all right? What I want to talk about today is the huddle with God and Moses. Because when we start in chapter number 6, you kind of have this sense of like Moses, you know, because the people complain to Moses, chapter 5. Moses complains to God, end of chapter 5. And it's like, what's going on? And God's like, come here, huddle up. Let me tell you what's going on. Let me show you what we're going to do. All right, so let's stand together. We're going to read just the first 8 verses of chapter 6 of Exodus 6, verses 1 through 8. You follow along as I read. But the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand he will send them out, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land. God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they lived as sojourners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the people of Israel, whom the Egyptians hold as slaves, and I have remembered my covenant. So therefore say to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. Father, thank you for these moments we have together. Bless and encourage each heart. Speak to us. Help us to understand. Help us to apply. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So some takeaways from the huddle, okay? Some takeaways from the huddle. When we're on the roller coaster and he calls us into the huddle, he reminds us of three things, three quick things, and you can make some notes in your bulletin or you can check out the church app. The outline is there as well. Number one, he reminds us of what he's going to do, He says in verse 1, "Now you shall see what I will do. For with a strong hand, he will send them out. With a strong hand, he will drive them out of his land." He basically says, Moses, my plan is still in effect. Everything is under control. Everything is going to be okay. I'm going to do everything that I said I'm going to do. And not only at this point is Pharaoh going to let them go, like begrudgingly, the Bible says Pharaoh is going to drive them out of his land. Like, Pharaoh's going to be so convinced that this is a great idea to get to, he's going to agree with God, like, it is not good for these people to be here. They need to be out of this land, and he is going to drive them out. We oftentimes feel stuck and feel as if God's forgotten, but he has not. God has not forgotten his promises. God has not forgotten what he has said he will do. He will do what he has said he will do. Look at this verse in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. We often focus on the latter part. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So we use that verse as a demonstration, rightly so, that it's not God's desire that people should perish. It's God's desire that all should come to repentance. Like, we need to be reaching people for the Lord. But it's that first part of the verse that I think is so impactful. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness. You know, if you grew up using the King James Version like I did, it actually reads, the Lord is not, does anyone know what it is? The Lord is not, anybody? Slack. He is not slack to keep his promise. He is not a slacker. Like, God, like, what are you doing? Like, you know, you said you were going to do this. You said you were going to do that. Like, hello, I'm waiting. Have you ever been there with God? Like, I'm waiting. Hello, are you there? He is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness. Remind yourselves of the promises of God. Feed on this book. Feed on his word. You know what the enemy wants to do? The enemy wants to say, see, it didn't happen. You prayed for 2 whole weeks for that request and God didn't answer it. Two whole weeks. Hey, God doesn't operate on our timetable oftentimes. And we've got to recall, we've got to remember that we need to continually feed on his word. The Bible says, Hebrews 4:12, that his word is living, it's powerful, it's active. It's always teaching us. It's always revealing things to us. I was so fascinated this last week. You know, last Sunday, Pastor Dave was here speaking for me because I was, I had been sick the week before. And he shared something from John 21 that I had never in my life seen before. And I've read through the Gospel of John probably hundreds of times through my life. I have preached from that passage of Scripture multiple times. It's one of my favorite passages. It's the conversation between Jesus and Peter on the beach after his resurrection. You know, do you love me? Yes, I love you. Feed my sheep. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture. And I heard something last week that I had never heard before. And it was the idea, it was said, Jesus and Peter are talking, and John was following them. And John followed them. And that's when Peter's like, he turned like, well, what about this guy? And Jesus is like, what is that to you? No matter what I'm going to do with him, you know, you follow me. And I sat there with Tracy and I was like, I have never heard that before, ever. And it was just a great example. I was a picture of, you know, they're just kind of around the campfire eating the fish and stuff, you know, and they're having this conversation. But no, Scripture indicates that they were actually walking along, Jesus and Peter. And John's kind of, you know, behind. And whether he's eavesdropping or not, we don't know. But he was following them. And it's just, it was a great reminder to me that every time we open the Word, God has something to teach us. Listen to His Word. Feed on His Word. Don't allow the slowness in the keeping of His promises keep you discouraged in thinking that He's not going to keep His promises. He is going to do it. Number two, He reminds us of what He's going to do. He reminds us of who He is. Of who He is. He said, I am the Lord. See, Moses had forgotten something. Moses had forgotten something throughout this entire process. Because he's working with the people of Israel, he's working with Aaron, he's working with Moses, he's working with the Egyptians, he's working with Pharaoh, and he had lost sight of the Lord. He was getting all worked up and all anxious and all stressed out because of all the things that were happening around him, and God says, "Hey, Moses, eyes on me. One, two, three, eyes on me." Okay? Then you do that in nursery school. You know, one, two, three, eyes on me. And you think about that in the huddle. It's like I'm looking at the scoreboard, and I'm looking at the other team, and I'm looking at all the things that are happening. And the coach is like, hey, man, sir, look, right here. I am the Lord. He says, do not forget who I am. Does anyone else have kids that occasionally talk back to them, or has that just happened in the pastor's house? Okay? All right. You know, every once in a while, you know, your kid will just, you know, and our response will be something like, who do you think you're talking to? I'm your dad. You need to listen to me. And there's a little bit of this sense here where Moses is kind of like, God, like you're not down, no. And he, Moses! I am the Lord. Don't forget who I am. So we talked about this in one of the messages earlier. We've got the I am over here. You have Yahweh, Jehovah. I am. And not just God, it would be El, but Yahweh, Jehovah, the I am, His personal name to His people. You know, in the Hebrew language, there were no vowels. So that's why, you know, is it Yahweh? Is it Jehovah? It's just the vowels that we put in there to kind of make it sound like this, because that's how they wrote in the Old Testament. It's kind of like what we do today with this. So what is this, everybody? LMK is, what is it? Let me know. So that's what we do, right? We kind of fill in the blanks. And so this word, and we see it in our Bibles, we see it as Lord. But look what He says here. He says, I did not, verse number 3. He says, I appeared as God Almighty, but by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. Say, Moses, to them I was just El. I was just the all-powerful one, the mighty one, the majestic one, the supreme being, the creator, the authority. Moses says, as I come now to my people, I'm giving you my name. Why? Because He loves us, because He cares for us, because He seeks relationship with us. He's a personal God who keeps His promises, who seeks relationship with His people. And again, the enemy does, when we are on the roller coaster, it seeks to diminish the name. Diminish the name. Minimize the name as not being that important. But He says again and again, I am the Lord. Remember, the greatest weapon of the enemy, one of the greatest weapons, I shouldn't say the, but one of the greatest weapons of the enemy is as a deceiver. Deception. We get this idea about Satan, about the enemy, Like, he wants me to do bad stuff. So we've got, like, you know, the little devil on this shoulder, and we've got the little angel on this shoulder, and they're like, you know, you should do this. No, you shouldn't do that. You will have so much fun if you do this. No, that will be bad for you. And we have this, like, kind of back and forth, you know, he wants me to do these bad things. No, all Satan wants to do is mess up your view of God. And if he can mess up your view of God, that will mess up everything. He says, I am the Lord. Look at this verse, John chapter 8. He says, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, does not stand the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. You go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. All the way back to the Garden of Eden. And the serpent, you know, approaches Adam and Eve. Like, you know, did God really say this? That's his first, the first recorded word, or question. Did God really say that? Yeah, if we eat this, we touch it, like we're, that's not going to happen. Has the enemy ever said that to you? Have you ever heard that voice? Go ahead and do this. You're not going to get caught. Nothing bad's going to happen. You can live one way in front of one group of people, another way in front of another group of people. You're going to be just fine. He is a liar. He is the father of lies. He will deceive. God says, I am the Lord. God, we see his power. In Lord, we see his care. He loves his people. He cares for you. And thirdly and lastly, he reminds us whose story this is. Whose story this is. When you look at these verses, you see it before 6, but you go to 6. You know, I am the Lord. I will bring you out. I will deliver you. I will redeem you. I will take you. I will be your God. I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord. I will bring you. 11 times. I. Who is the star of the story? It's God. It's not you. It's not me. Moses, you're not the star of the story. This isn't your story. This is my story. This isn't the story of the people of Israel. This is my story. This isn't the story of Pharaoh. This isn't the story of the Egyptians. This is my story, and I'm working things out at my pace for my glory. We're commanded to submit our wills to him, but we mostly want his will to conform with ours. We want to be the stars of our own story, and that's not how it works. And check this out. I mean, when we consider, again, the roller coaster of life, keeping that analogy. You know, when things are going good, man, you know, the kids are good, and the bills are paid, and the job is secure, and the car's not breaking down, and all, like, yeah, I love God. God's great. I'm reading my Bible. I'm going to church. I'm serving. I'm involved. Man, as soon as things start going down, I don't know if it's worth it. I don't know if I should read the Bible. I don't know if I'm going to go to church. I don't know if I'm going to keep on doing it. And what have we exposed about ourselves? It's about ourselves, not him. We've exposed that we desire to be the stars of our own story. It's a story about us, not a story about him. We've got to be careful about that. We say things like, you know, it's your happiness. Whatever makes you happy, your happiness is the most important thing. Or something along the lines of, you know, just be true to yourself. Just be true to yourself. It's his story. He says, Moses, huddle up, huddle up. Let's talk. I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. Remember who I am. And hey, this isn't your story. This is my story. And I'm doing it according to my plan and according to my purpose. See, oftentimes we want God to be a player in our story when the reality is we're a player in his. And that's a key, key distinction. A couple things to think about when we do this kind of contrast. His story, you know, my story versus his story. Your story will manifest in a couple ways. It'll express itself in a couple ways. Number one, and this isn't in your notes, so if you want to jot this down somewhere. Truth is defined as what works best for me. If it works for me, that's truth. Okay, that means it's your story, not his. And God, number two, God exists to make my life better. So, yeah, like God, you need to, you know, make sure everything's taken care of. And as long as things are good, we're good. And if things go bad, then we're kind of iffy.
He says, hey, this is my story, not yours. His story expresses itself in a few different ways. The first one, I seek first his fame and honor. His fame and honor is most important to me. You know, the Bible says it this way, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God, not me. Someone's illustrated it this way, kind of the sports illustration. You know, which name is more important to you, the name on the back of the jersey or the name on the front? You know, our name that's on the back or, you know, the team Jesus name. Which one is more important to you? If the one's more important to you is the one that's in the front, then yeah, the name that's on the back may go through some stuff, but we're most concerned about the name in the front. We seek first his fame and his honor. Number two, I accept his plan and his timing. I accept his plan and his timing. Wow, that's hard. I mean, and you think about what's happening here with Moses and the people of Israel and the Egyptians. Like, God, like, why don't you just like, release them, just like zap them all, and like they're it's over. Like, isn't that what we would do? I'm like, God, this is taking so much time. We're getting ready to get into the plagues, you know, the plagues of Egypt and stuff. We're gonna have all this drama, all this chaos. I'm like, God, why don't you just do it right now? Boom, done. And God's like, hey, this is my story. I'm working things out. I've got a way that I'm doing it. And part of the place we need to come to is understanding that his plan and his timing may be different from ours. And thirdly, I find the purpose and fulfillment I was created for. And ultimately, it just becomes, you know what? Like, man, this is his story. This is his thing. This is what he's doing. I just need to trust God and be faithful. I need to trust God and be faithful and leave the rest to him. So what do we need to do? We need to play our part well. It's his script. It's his story. Trust him and be faithful. As we close, we're out of time. Jesus, as we think about Jesus here in closing, I was thinking about, because we've not gone through the rest of the verses. Basically, you've got some talk back in, you know, 9 through 13. You know, Moses kind of like, you know, Moses, he's like, God, they're not hearing. They're broken spirit, the harsh slavery. Lord says, go tell them. Moses is like, you know, they've not listened to me. How will Pharaoh hear me? He's like, go back, tell them. Then you've got a whole section about the genealogy, and then he closes again. Moses says, you know, go, I'm the Lord, tell Pharaoh king. He says, but behold, I'm uncircumcised lips. How will Pharaoh listen to me? So he's continually just kind of like, okay, huddle up. This is what you need to do. You know, but God, huddle up. Come on, here we go. But God. And it's just like this back and forth. And it reminded me of the story of when Jesus was calling the disciples. And when Jesus called Peter for the first time to be one of his disciples, he finds him in a boat. He's a fisherman. And he'd been out all night. And he says, hey, put your nets on the other side of the boat. And Peter's like, we've toiled all night. We've labored all night. We haven't caught anything. But because you said put it out there one more time on the other side of the boat, I'll do it. And what, of course, is the end of that story. A whole net full of fish, got to call people from the shore, hey, help us out, there's like so many fish, there's no, you know, we can't carry it all. And what does he say? He says, again, do it again, do it again, do it again. And when you're on the roller coaster and God calls the huddle, this is what he's going to tell you. He's going to say, remember, I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. Remember who I am. Remember whose story this is. And that will give you the encouragement that you need. He will finish what he started. His name demonstrates his care, and his story totally takes the pressure off because it's him doing a work. We need to be faithful. We need to trust him, but he's the one doing the work. Maybe you're in a roller coaster this morning. Maybe you're experiencing the ups and downs of life. Listen for the timeout. Listen for the huddle. Listen to the voice of God today as he reminds you he will do it, who he is, whose story this is about. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the time we've had this morning. Lord, we love you, and we're grateful for your work in our lives. We're grateful for your work in our church. We're grateful for your work around the world. And Father, thank you for the time we've had this morning to center our thoughts around the huddle between you and Moses at this very critical juncture. And so, Father, I pray for those in this room
who may similarly be experiencing the emotional roller coaster of life and who need to have that huddle time with you. Lord, remind them, teach them, help them, encourage them, and I pray your blessing on each and every one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.